Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Getaway Friday. Friday, March the 27th. 2026, 3:27:26, 17 and a half minutes past the hour, and last Friday in the month of March. I about said May there, but last Friday in the month of March, Matt Morgan joins us live in the studio this morning. You look a little rough there this morning, Matt.
You'll have that from time to time.
I thought you would be like, last week you came in like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And you, like, responded early this morning. Now, this morning, you look like you've been through the ringer.
Well, no, I was up late last night, though.
So this morning was a rough morning for you.
I suppose, but, I mean, I don't know. It's about the average morning, I guess. I tend to not sleep a lot.
Now, you know, lack of sleep affects your moods.
Yes, I did. Yes, I was aware of that.
Yes, yes. Lack of sleep can make you cranky and irritable and downright angry.
It also, to my understanding, is not great for your immune system.
No, it's not good for the immune system. It's not good for the heart. When you sleep, your heart beats less.
Oh, yeah. I knew that much.
So you got all this. Well, anyway, you're here, and it's a Getaway Friday, and it's the last Friday in March, and we had the big storms last night. Petrified everybody for like an hour. I don't think really more than that, but they set off the tornado sirens, and they called it a tornado warning, so if you had a cell phone, it all went off last night, so people were frightened.
It ended up being not a lot.
Well, I mean, it was busy and thunderstorm and lightning there for a while. We lost power here at the studio. It was must have just blinked twice last night.
I lost power at my house at some point in time. For a little bit.
But it came back on, so we were able to get the station back on remotely last night. But here we are, it's a Friday morning. Well, I wanted to run through, as we start off the morning here, a lot of the things that we've talked about on the show this week, because heaven knows there's been a lot, and we're getting close to April the 1st, which are some deadlines here in town. The city council meeting, you did not attend that on Monday, but you know, it was a full city council meeting. The 50% tax credit was passed, and the mayor got his budget passed, which right now shows a $6 million deficit. Although the mayor said that would be taken care of, 3 million accounts that were not closed out last year, and 3 million by getting rid of curbside recycling, sanitation rate increases, and bus fare increases. Although, here we are again on March 27th, 4 weeks and 1 day after the mayor's letter. Still no legislation on sanitation fees. Still no legislation on bus fares. Still no legislation on curbside recycling. It's all a little suspect and confusing to everybody, but there you go.
Well, I mean, I think that that's... I mean, it's... I don't know. I thought they couldn't pass a budget that had the negative line items.
Well, I think that's their explanation for why it...
The line items will not be negative by the end of the year.
I guess.
Okay, well... That'd be good, I guess. I mean, if they can get the line items covered, then that's always a positive. I mean, it's not good to have negatives.
Yeah, but now here was the shocker for people who believe that Republicans are all in some kind of cabal and voting together. The budget passed 5-3. The three dissenting votes were Aaron Rollins, Thad Smith, and Ralph Smith.
Well, that's interesting.
So again, this idea that everybody votes together and there's some kind of meeting beforehand, I'm not saying they haven't happened, but I don't think anybody would have put Rob Smith down for a no. I don't think anybody would have put Thad Smith down for a no. And I think people probably would have put Scott Kreider down for a no, and he voted yes.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. I figured that one of the no's was going to be Scott Kreider.
No. So again, things not so kosher there. One vote in the opposite direction would have tied it up. If Kreider had voted no, it would have tied it up. Now, that would have sent it to Mary. I don't know how she would have voted, to be honest. Now, some people would take the cynical idea that she would have voted yes, but I'm not totally for sure on that.
A lot of the times when Mary's had to come in as a tiebreaker or something like that, like they have like minority vote things where you know, things like that. But Mary's sided with the minority a couple of times that I can recall.
I thought so. So that was Monday night city council meeting. And then we had the kerfluffle after, which maybe we have talked more about this week than anything else. And, you know, did you hear about this?
Yes.
So what is your understanding of what happened? Just so we don't misrepresent what happened after the meeting.
Well, to my understanding, Sean Barr had called a constituent a dumb B-word.
Right, on the way out.
Yes.
On the way out. And, see, I'd already left at that point. Apparently, this was right after me. I walked by, and as soon as I went out the door, this happened. But, see, here's the problem. I understand why he was angry. He felt he was under attack. I guess all people do at some point. But when you're a sitting council person and you are still in the chamber of city council, which is a courtroom, and it's not another council member, and it's not like a law enforcement person. It's not like people haven't had arguments before. And it's not like people haven't used profanity before. But to say that to a constituent, a sitting council member in the chamber, see, this is where I have the problem with it. This is where I think we're losing some kind of decorum. What was the point?
Well, I don't know what the point was, but I mean, it tends to be... I think the point was he was upset, I suppose. But I don't think it's great. I mean, you know, it tends to be pretty frowned upon for public officials to be making remarks about constituents.
Now, I'm being told here. No, we're going to come to you, caller. Stay there. Apparently, they watched me leave and then watched him turn around and come back. So I'm not sure. We'll have to get some clarification. I haven't heard that until just now. But we'll get some clarification on that as the morning goes along. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, was it Naomi the one he said that to?
Yes.
I bet you Naomi is smarter than he is. How much you want to bet?
Oh, Naomi's very smart. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, she is. If they both took an aptitude test, I bet Naomi would come out ahead of him.
Well, here's
or maybe they might take the cognitive test.
there's that. You know,
one of them could pass that because our president's got the link on that.
Hey, did you miss yesterday's program?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you might have because yesterday we kind of got into the Iran discussion. We, oddly enough, it wasn't on the topic agenda, but boy, we got off on Iran yesterday and really went through that. So we'll come back to that later on this morning, but we had about 2 hours of people's opinions on Iran yesterday.
When will that repeat on the radio again?
It might repeat after we're done today. Well, Charlie repeats right when we go off, so probably 2 o'clock. But,
now, can I get that on your website?
Yes. If you go to the website, wwgh1071.com, and you go under the tab at the top that says The Early Show with Scott Spears, everything's on there by date and by hour.
Okay.
Yeah, but don't do it until this show's over today.
Now, what was the sentiment on that yesterday? More people in favor of the war or more people in favor of not having that war?
It felt to me like more people against the war, but it started out because somebody seemed more for the war. So it started out with somebody seemingly defending it. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth here. And because of that defense, then I know we had, I believe, 2 callers who were more against it, I think, which took us to the end of the first hour.
Well, I'm sick and tired of the United States dropping bombs on everybody. You wonder why people in other parts of the world don't like us. I mean, when bombs are being dropped on everybody, and then they never thought Iran was really going to retaliate back.
Well, we'll come back to this, but as far as the city council meeting, here's what
I think that recycling's got to go. That will probably save us the most money on anything we could do.
Right, but the League of Women Voters said they were against it, and their sentiment was, what have you done to try to get grants? What have you done to try to save this? And I don't think you understand how crazed people can get about recycling. I have literally had holiday parties and cookouts where we have cans of soda, and people will go into my trash to fish them out and take them home so they can recycle them.
They can still be recycled even if the city don't pick it up. You could take it over there to Sims, and they'll pay you a little bit for it.
Right, but I'm saying,
don't they set up a central recycling area where you drop off and have different dumpsters for different things?
Yeah, but people don't like change. It's been there for 41 years.
They'll get over it. And
people, well, I don't know that they'll get over it. People, and I don't think people are going to get over the bus fares, and certainly not quickly either.
Well, I think that bus fare, taking it up 75 cents is, I don't know. I mean, more seniors are going to be hurt by that than anybody else. And, well, you know, the electric bills, my electric bill last month was $134. And during the winter, my electric bills are normally $50, $60.
Right, but I think the point here is the opposition to it. But back to the decorum here of what goes on. Here's the thing. If I, as a man, would call any woman that, I guarantee there's going to be a response. There's no doubt in my mind. No woman is just going to shrug that off and keep on walking.
Well, nobody that serves for the council of the city should say that to anybody. He's not worthy of being a council person.
Well, that's why I say,
when you talk about somebody like Naomi in particular, or when you talk about groups and stuff in that town, hopefully voters will remember that next time.
Well, like I said, everybody, I guess, has a mulligan and loses their cool, but I think you do have to apologize to the citizens. I think you do have to apologize that you did that in council chambers.
He hasn't done that?
Well, no, not that I'm aware of, but there hasn't been a meeting since either. And if he doesn't do that, and no other council person calls on him to do that, that's the real problem. Because then it's almost like, well, okay, that's okay. We don't even need to bring that up.
Well, that might be all right at federal level, but here in Marion, Ohio, at our levels, we don't need that.
Well, and if there was more to it than that, if he feels there was a reason that he's justified in doing it, he needs to say that.
Well, I don't see how he can justify saying that. You can argue with somebody and you don't have to say the B word.
No, but a lot of people do say a lot of stuff, and, you know, I don't know. It provokes people, I guess.
Well, I know it can happen. I've said some words on the radio here before that, or on your show before, that I probably shouldn't have said, but not directed at any certain person.
No, and life goes on. Life goes on. Trust me, there are just certain people who I know, if I ever would use that terminology, you couldn't even do it in a jovial way. There's just no way.
Well, if you used that terminology, who do you think would report it and be on it so much? You're the only news really in Marion besides, you think WMRN and have a special section talking about you?
Well, no, WMRN wouldn't, but
paper might print that.
Well, they might. They've done some things in the past that are suspect in regard to other media. But the point is, you know, if I did do that, I probably should be called out on the carpet. So,
what
there you go.
What if you call one of your students that?
Well, that's right. It wouldn't float.
Yeah, it wouldn't fly. And you'd have to say apology or they might even, but you have a little bit of time off.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, I don't think cursing a constituent is any good. I mean, it tends to be awfully frowned upon for public servants to be cussing at the people who are in theory supposed to be in charge. You work for the public.
Now, wait, we've got a listener out here. Now, here's some interesting points. Every individual person can recycle to their heart's content, but it doesn't do much in the grand scheme of things. Worldwide, about 100 corporations are responsible for the majority of pollution. Those same corporations heavily try to influence public opinion of climate change so they don't have to spend money to limit their environmental pollution. And in the U.S., thanks to the pieces of legislation that Citizens United, corporations can front money for politicians who will make decisions that benefit the corporations, such as rolling back EPA protections like Trump recently did.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not saying that in Marion, Ohio, we're going to save the world by recycling, but people do like to do it, and it is a four-decade-old program that the city has always been able to maintain, and I don't know that cutting that program is going to be the answer to the city's financial woes, and I think that's the big problem. Is
of
that
all of recyclables out there in the whole country, and, you know, can be the whole world, you know, Germany's real strict on that. But there is a very small portion of that that gets recycled. And the problem is we're paying $500,000 a year to do it. I bet you how much, well, we even have to pay to get rid of it. But if they would pay us for it, we wouldn't get crap. I mean, come on. You know, if that was something in your life, you know, your expenditure, you'd have to make a tough decision that it would have to go.
Well, again, people can do what they want.
And those groups can organize and get a center where they can do all their recycling if they want. But the taxpayers of Marion County shouldn't have to pay for that. Deadbeat issue.
Well,
see, just costing money.
See, here's the problem, though. Everything for everybody is a niche issue. It truly is. There, I don't know any issue in this city that everybody's going to be all in. Everybody's got their pet concerns.
Oh yeah, there's always going to be difference of opinion.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying. Okay, we just had the big debate over flock cameras. Now, apparently the city did pay somewhat for those. Marmet, I guess, paid a little bit on the for the flock cameras, but mostly paid by grants. But people don't want them, so that is an issue that people are going to have to decide. And you know, it's much like recycling.
Eventually, that's going to be an issue they don't even get the system, you know, to make a decision on. You are cameraed. You're cameraed more when you go out to any store than you are walking down Center Street.
Well, see, there you don't.
Driving down Center Street, everybody's got cameras anymore. And I don't think we should have them for traffic enforcement, but I think if a big ruckus, you know, went on, you know, that the cameras, you know, could be handy. Or if you had somebody that was selling drugs in here and you suspected him real bad, you know, when he come across those cameras and learned it, you could try to follow him.
I'm not saying that curbside recycling should stay. I'm not saying it should go away. All I'm saying is if you think that doing that by direct order from the mayor's office, which apparently he can do, and not bringing it up for discussion in council is going to float and people aren't going to be angry, you're mistaken. And they will go out and find somebody who will reinstate that, or at least try to get the grants, and you will lose that group's support. And you lose enough of those groups' support in a local municipal election, you'll be out of office.
Well, you do what you got to do that's right for the country or your city. You don't do what is going to get you reelected.
Well,
but if those recycle people want to recycle, they can get on a list, and all of them can contribute some money to pay for that.
We'll see. We'll keep the conversation going here this morning. Stay tuned.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Phone lines are open, as always, 740-383-9944. I think, I don't know. I just believe that recycling, again, I'm not saying I'm for it or against it. I just don't think that it's going to go away without a whimper.
Well, yeah, I mean, it already hasn't. I mean, like you said, the women's club came to
the League of Women Voters.
The League of Women Voters came to the city council meeting to talk about it.
So there you go. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you have anything you'd like to say or add to the conversation, we always enjoy hearing from you, 740-383-9944. So that was pretty much the city council meeting. I don't know. There's just something about the level of behavior that people have now in public that is really on some kind of a downturn, unfortunately. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Oh, it's spam. You know, it said potential spam. I should have been more keyed into that. But it was a local number. So you see, you want to answer those local numbers.
Yeah.
Don't they know we're doing a show?
I don't think they do.
Potential spam calls. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you'd like to add anything to the conversation. Now, okay, let's see. Well, on this subject, this is kind of interesting because many times, well, I don't know how many times, but over the years on this show, I have had Lizzie Post on as a guest, who is the granddaughter of Emily Post. And Emily Post literally wrote the book on etiquette. So, you know, these greetings that we have. Now, I have a huge etiquette book here. Gigantic Emily Post etiquette book, 19th edition. You know, learn all you want to know on how you should do things. This thing's 700 pages long on etiquette. But I wanted to see what the etiquette was for a proper greeting, because I don't think we got it on Monday, but I wanted to see what the etiquette was according to the reigning queen of this, Emily Post, and her granddaughter is writing these now. So here's a greeting. Now, greetings are introductions to get things going, bringing people together in a positive way, from a casual wave to the most formal presentation. They're basic to civilized interaction in all societies. Though the forms may differ, every gathering and introduction is a chance to show your respect to others and create a favorable impression of yourself. So the most important thing is to do it. Make a conscious effort to say hello, even when you feel a bit grumpy or shy. Now, the important thing here is, when we get to the etiquette of Emily Post and Lizzie Post, let's see here, because there are actually parts to a greeting. Did you know this?
Like, hello, how are you doing today?
Well, no, there are four. Here you go. Four steps to a correct greeting. Okay, stand up.
Oh, well,
that's
yes.
number one. Uh-huh. If there's no room to stand, briefly lift yourself out of the chair, extend your hand, and say, please excuse me for not standing. It's nice to meet you. That's number one. Number two, smile and make eye contact. Your smile conveys warmth and openness. Looking a person in the eye clearly shows that you're focused on them. Okay, good there. Say your greeting. The direct, how do you do, hello, and it's a pleasure to meet you are all good openers. Repeating the person's name also helps you remember it. Shake hands. Grasp the other person's hand firmly. Shake two or three times. Let go and step back. Now, those are the four steps to a correct greeting. So says Emily Post, the queen of etiquette. For hundreds of years in this country.
Well, that's good.
I don't see anything in here about, you know, stupid, you know, B-word. But, you know, this is how we have to do it.
Well, this seems more like you're meeting somebody for the first time. I mean, yeah, I mean, even if I knew you, I guess, and I was going to shake your hand, yes, I would stand up to shake your hand. I mean, yeah, that's polite.
I don't know. There's a whole thing in here about introductions and how you should do that. Here, six mistakes. Are you ready for this? This is what you don't do. Don't look away. Always got to have that. Making two personal comments. Now, see, now we're getting into this. Go ahead, Colin.
Pierre Marion.
As it always is.
Exactly. I'd just like to let the listening audience know I'm still in search of a proctologist to give Mr. Clark and Mr. Barr their barbed wire enema. However, until that's established, I would like to provide a bar of soap to wash Mr. Barr's mouth out with.
Do you think we'll see an apology or that anybody on council will call for an apology?
You know, it would be amazing if he had the backbone to stand up and say, you know, I lost my temper. I do apologize for not representing the people who voted for me in the proper light. I think that would go a good way, you know?
Well, let's see what happens. We'll see if it happens at the next meeting.
One thing. The documentary, Radical Obsession, on Tubi, to really get a good perspective on what's going on with Iran.
Now, I don't want to misrepresent, because I think we'll get into this later, but the conversation that started yesterday, are you saying that going into Iran is what needed to be done?
I'm saying take a look at Radical Obsession and decide for yourself.
But what did yourself decide?
Do what?
What did yourself decide?
Myself did decide.
And what was that?
It's not for public consumption.
Well, why would anybody else say then?
They're not me.
Okay.
It's like when you ask Denzel Washington, well, how did you vote? That's none of your business. I'm just saying that people can get enlightened. It will either substantiate their beliefs or enlighten them to change their beliefs.
Okay.
This is a pretty darn good documentary laying everything out. I did not detect anything that was one way or another about it other than the fact, hey, this is where we are. And some people will probably look at it and say, right on. Some people will probably say, no way, I don't know. But I think you can make a better decision by watching this and seeing the facts as they are presented.
Well, no way seems to be the sentiment of the country. And it's very interesting, as I said yesterday on the show when we had this conversation, I am shocked at the number of people who have turned on Trump. When I did the Facebook Live last Saturday night, the people who were absolutely Donald Trump fans and voted for him all in, they called him a traitor.
The general public only knows, and how many of them, I'm a documentary junkie. And when I look even at news, I'm on YouTube looking at this source, all kinds of sources to see what's going on, comparing and contrasting. I don't think too many people out there exercise that much due diligence to be able to make somewhat of an intelligent comment about some of the issues. We only know what we receive, but if you do the research, you can find out.
Well, it's interesting. All I'm saying is, I'm not giving my opinion on the war in Iran either. All I'm saying is what I've observed through these interviews, and these are not polls. These are people who have defended Trump for 12 years, saying things like he's a traitor, saying things like he's betrayed MAGA, saying things like he is in Israel's pocket.
I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they asked me what happened to the America First stance.
Yeah, it's very shocking. I have not seen any issue during the era of Trump that has turned his people off so much as this particular issue.
Well, you know, how many of those people, when you say you interviewed them?
No, they were just calling in.
They're just calling in. Well, no offense, Scott, but you do have a limited audience.
Well, I think the country's polls right now, which is a big audience, show it in the complete opposite direction.
Well, like John Holmes used to say, it all depends on who you're polling.
All the people supporting it must be hiding.
To a better tomorrow.
All right, thank you. All right, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind in regard to this. 740-383-9944. Well, there's a little talk of Iran off the get-go here this morning. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, how long was we in Iraq?
Oh, well,
20 years?
Probably at least. Started in 2003.
Okay, you know Iraq is helping Iran? So what did all those years of us spending our wasteful money help? Us bombing the heck out of Iran is only going to make them more apt to want to get you back.
Yeah, but don't you find it interesting that the Trump supporters, because the people who don't like him, much like every other issue, are not going to like this, and people who do like him, you think, would like this. But that is not so. I only could find one person on that Facebook Live last Saturday night that was even willing to kind of tentatively support the war in Iran, and a lot of people who were absolutely all in on Trump and said they were saying warmonger, were saying betrayed us, were saying...
They're starting to wake up. That's what's happening. The ones that are still for Trump are the ones that don't watch news, and they're very uneducated. They're like Trump. Well, maybe not like Trump. Supposedly Trump can read, but these people probably can't read too good. That's his base. But the people that was a little bit higher than that are weeding out.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Thank you. You know, aren't all audiences limited? Couldn't you say that about anybody?
Well, I mean, you only got a certain number.
I mean, I don't know who's
not
limited.
You're in competition with everybody else.
Right. I mean, we could say, well, the paper, they wrote something, but they're limited because of those pay windows.
I mean, there are, like, I don't know, well over 1,000 channels at this point.
Oh.
I mean, I think everybody's got a limited audience.
Everybody's limited. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I just thought I would offer a little clarity on the earth lawful, as you say, on Monday.
Yes.
And the city council was, the meeting was over, and there were no interactions of, you know, anybody discussing or arguing with each other. People were having little chit-chat conversations all over the room, and as I said, I was talking to Naomi and had my back somewhat to the center aisle, and I could see Mr. Barr pass behind me in my peripheral vision, and then on his way out of the room, and then all of a sudden, he was back into my field of view, he walked up on me, and I'm very cognizant of people walking up on me. So I kind of turned to face him, and that's when the conversation, he started the conversation with, or tried to, with Naomi. Naomi was backing away get-go. She was saying, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to have any conversation. He was saying he was a contractor, he, you know, he knows these people through being a contractor, and that's when he leaned in and kind of whispered, you're a stupid bitch. And then everything happened the way it happened. As I said, at some point, Mr. Clark decided to jump in there. You know, Mr. Clark seems to just seethe at the public for having the audacity to question anybody up there. And he needs to remember that he's a public servant. But back to the story, as I said, you know, there was no heat of the moment, and he lost his cool because he and Naomi had been going back and forth. My opinion was just his pride got the best of him. He walked by, and he just couldn't keep his mouth shut. He just had to come up and confront her, and, I mean, you know, I honestly, you know, the fact that Naomi was backing away surprised me. I mean, because, you know, Naomi don't take no shit. But she was. So, I mean, let's be clear on this. You know, he came up and initiated the whole interaction, and then Mr. Clark decided to jump in too. So these are two sitting council people, two public servants, and supposedly the justification was that Naomi called Mr. Barr a jackass during council meeting. I watched the replay. I didn't catch that anywhere. I'm not saying he's wrong. I just, it's hard to hear on that system sometimes, and I didn't catch it anywhere. But let's just, you know, for sake of argument, let's say she did. I mean, there's a huge difference between somebody from the public expressing frustration with the public servant and calling him a jackass, and somebody walking up to a 6-foot-whatever man walking up to a female and saying, you know, you're a stupid bitch because she cares about her city and she cares about doing things right, and she made it clear she is not against the Dollar General being built or any of that. It's just about, let's do this right.
Well, let me say, this is from one of our listeners out here this morning, and again from a listener. It said, is the councilman who verbally assaulted a constituent also a teacher? Because if the conduct is reported to the school district, it can lead to disciplinary action, even though it occurred outside of the school. I don't know.
I don't know anything about him being a teacher or anything. Somebody posted something that he, I don't know, teaches at one of the alternative schools or something. I that wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't know. But again, I mean, you know, if we're going to be in leadership, I mean, that's one of the people say to me, well, you know, if you think it's so easy, Phil, why don't you be in leadership? I don't think I'm leadership material.
Well, yes. Well,
you know, I wouldn't be able to hold my tongue in those situations, well, and I think we need people that can.
Well, I want to make sure to say this. I don't know that anybody should be reporting things to the school that happens outside of the school, and I think we should get a clarification on why this happened from Mr. Barr at some point, or Mr. Clark. But I also think, see, here is the problem with politics right now. And I think I said this the other day when it comes, and I'm also going to compare it to the county commissioner race, but I don't know if we have time this hour. But I said this about this 86 district race that we have coming up, because essentially we're talking about politics and what's going on. And I said, if Wesleyan Davis loses this race, this primary, it's going to be because of her likability. I said that a long time ago, because there is a group that absolutely dislikes her because of the things that she said about Tracy Richardson in the last primary 2 years ago, and that's not a long time ago. And also, there's a group that dislikes her now because of the way that she campaigns, that she slips these little jabs in from time to time against people she doesn't like or people who she thinks she can get over on. So likability with her is always going to be an issue. Now, can she win? Yes, she can. But is there a likability issue? There absolutely is. Ben Weber, whether you vote for him or would not vote for him, or he is in his 20s or whatever, or Stephen Wolf, I don't know that people have personal feelings against them. I think you could vote against Ben Weber and still think, well, he's a nice young kid. I think you could vote against Stephen Wolf and say, I wouldn't vote for him, but he's a nice guy, good councilman. So that's the difference. It's your personality and the people you align yourself with. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think that's probably true. I mean, there was a rough primary between Wesleyan Davis and Tracy Richardson the last time around. But I do think that there has been some... I mean, I've heard people say things about Ben, like, you know, he's smug and whatnot. And, I mean, for a while there, people were calling him Baby Ben.
Yeah, but that's his age. He can't do anything about that.
Yeah, I guess.
But I don't think people dislike him. I don't think they get a visceral dislike. I've never heard somebody call in here and tirade on Ben's personality.
No.
I have heard tirades on Wesleyan Davis's personality, public and private.
They're going for jobs as public servants, and this whole thing of, you know, she said something bad about Tracy Richardson or whoever, we got to quit worshiping these people, whoever they are. They're public servants. They're there to do a job. If they do the job they say they're going to do, we elect them again up to the term limits that should be in place for all of them.
Right. I don't think it's the worshiping of the public official. I think it's how you treat another human being, which is what we're talking about here with Barr and Naomi from Monday night. It's what are you willing to say and what are you willing to do to get a job or stay in a job? And that kind of behavior from somebody who wants to be in an office, you know, that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Now, I guess some people it rubs the right way, but a lot of people it rubs the wrong way.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't have any issue with debate. I don't have any issue with disagreement whatsoever. You know, it's where the disrespect comes in. And sometimes, you know, I give it too. You know, I get it. I'm guilty of the same thing. I try not to go there. I think immediately when it goes to, or if you start off with the name calling, it basically says you have no argument.
We're going to keep talking, so I hope maybe you'll call back in, but we got a break coming up. But from one of our listeners out there listening this morning, they say people with common sense dislike her too. So, there you go.
There you go.
We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
WWGH1071.com.
CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage CRT Mechanicals.